Today's daf is Be'ed Daf Chav Vav, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Chav Hei Amid Be'ez. The two dots, Shachta Basada, Lo Yevieno Bamoy. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Yaakov Aaron Ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Marivka, and Etam Malka Bas Miriam. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Daniel Yoel Ben Harav Yaakov Manis, that Echad Mibnei HaChabura, Reb Yaakov Brown's father. Tonight is his third yard site, and may today's daf be a schos and an aliyah for his neshama. So the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei Amid Aleph mentioned the halachos of Shechita on Yontif. High level, Shechita is a Melechas Oichel Nefesh. As a result, one is allowed a Shecht on Yontif. Stating that, the Mishnah got involved in some more specific halachas. One of the things the Mishnah said was Shecht Basada, if somebody shechts an animal in a field, Lo Yeviena B'moit U'B'moita. You're not allowed to carry the slaughtered animal on a pole into the shtetl. Avo Mevi B'yaday Evar Mevar. However, if you want to bring it in, Aver, that's something that you're allowed to do. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that's going to elaborate on this idea that you're not allowed to carry the limbs of an animal on a moit. Tanu Rabbanan, in Asuma Yoitze B'makloi. A suma, someone that can't see, is not allowed to walk on Yontif with his walking stick. Now, Rashi says right away, obviously, if this person has no way of getting around without using his walking stick, he would be allowed to on Yontif. But we're talking about someone that theoretically can get around even without it. L'katchilo, this is not something that he should use on Yontif. Lo yihoroye b'tarmiloi. A shepherd is not supposed to wear his pouch on Yontif. Ein yoitzim b'kisei, and you're not allowed to go out on Yontif sitting on a chair. Echad ha'ish, echad ha'isha. It doesn't matter if you're a man. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. So that chair is referring to people, this is really old school, that were so chashav, they would be carried around. So they literally had mesharsim that would carry them around. So says the Mishnah, the Braisa, that's not something that you're supposed to do on Yontif. So the Braisa mentions a few things that are not covered Yontif. Ein hasumo yoitze b'makoloi. The Roy is not supposed to walk around with his pouch, and people are not supposed to be carried on chairs. It doesn't matter if you're a man or you're a woman. Freak the Gemara statue, ain't he? Vashalach Rav Yaakov Aridi. Rav Yaakov Aridi sent the following telegram from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Quote, Zakin Echad Hoye B'shchunosenu said there was an old man in our neighborhood. Vayayoytzi B'glutki Shaloi. And he would go out on Yontif in his glutki, meaning they used to carry him around. Uvo, v'shalu es Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and they went and they asked Rabbi Shua ben Levi, is it okay or is it not okay? Is this covered yontif or not? For Amar, and he said, im rabim tzrichim loy motif. This is a person that people need. The rabim needs him, then it's going to be okay. So Rashi says, what does it mean, rabim tzrichim loy? Lebeis hamedrish ledrasha. If he's someone that was going to give a drasha for a rabbin, someone like that you can carry around. V'samchu Rabbi Seinu, Rabbi Shulman Levi said that the rabbanim was soymich al divrei on the words of Achi Shakir. The Omar who said, Ana afikte l'rafuna mehini l'shili u'mishili l'hini. He said, I personally was the gaba of Rafuna and I carried him from hini to shili and from shili to hini. V'am Rav Nachman Yitzchak similarly said, Ana afikte l'mar Shmuel. I carried the master Shmuel mishimsha l'tula u'mitula l'shimsha, from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun. But what do you see from all of this? That it actually is okay to carry somebody on a chair. So the Gemara began with a braisa. The Suma's not allowed to carry his walking stick on Yontif. The shepherd's not supposed to have his spiel on Yontif. And you're not supposed to carry people on chairs. Fake the Gemara, is that true? You have story after story based on Rav Yaakov Baridi, Achi Shakya, but Rav Huna was carried around on Yontif, and Mar Shmu was carried around on Yontif. So you see, people can be carried. And the Gemara gives the obvious answer, and that is Hasam Kidda Amar Taimok. The answer is Mefurish in the Gemara. Why were they carried? We said, if someone is a person that the rabbin needs, then it's mutter. Rav Huna was being carried around, he was the Gadol Adar. Shmuel was the Gadol Adar. These were people that the rabbin needed, and it was necessary for them to be carried around in this way, and as a result, it was okay. For an ordinary person, it wouldn't be okay. Amalei Rav Nachman, Lechama Bar Ado, Shliach Tzion. Rav Nachman told Chama Bar Ado, who was a Shliach Tzion, Gisaltis Lassam, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, I want you to go to the ladder of Tzur, Vizil Legabi de Rav Yaakov Aridi, go to Rav Yaakov Aridi, Ubo Minei, and ask him the following question. Kise ma atun be? What's the halacha? You're allowed to carry someone around in a chair on Yontif or not? Ada azal hasam. By the time Rav Chama bar Ado, who was the Shliach Tzion, arrived in Eretz Yisrael, nach nafshit Rav Yaakov Aridi. Rav Yaakov Aridi wasn't alive anymore. He saw like Ashkechel Rav Zrika. However, he met Rav Zrika. Amale. So he asked Rav Zrika, tell me, Kisei ma'atun bay. What's the halacha? You let it carry someone on a chair on Yontif and not on Malay. So he told him, Hachi Yom Rav Ami. Rav Ami said, yes, but you have to read the fine print. Ubilvad shalo yikasef. You have to make sure that you don't carry the person on your shoulders. So it seems that there were two ways that people that got carried around on chairs were carried around. There was the more simple way, where people would physically hold on to the chairs with their hands. And then there was the more dramatic way, where people would cross hands with the other person's shoulder, so that they would create some sort of platform. They would put the chair on top of it, and that was a little more dakovedik. So Rav Ami said that if you want to do it in the simpler way, that's okay. But if what you're going to do is carry the chair on your shoulders, that's already pushing it. That's not something you're allowed to do. The Gemara says, "Mayu b'vad shalei yikasef." What we just said. What does it mean shalei yikasef? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rei Derava. Rabbi Yosef Rei Derava said, "Ba'alunki," which means sort of what we said. Any freak the Gemara is that true? For Rav Nachman sharolel leyalta lemeipach, but lemeipach ba'alunki. Rav Nachman allowed his famous wife Yalta to go out on Yontif with an alunki. So the Gemara says, Shani Yalta. Yalta was different than Ba'isa because she was afraid to do it any other way. So she would have been scared that she's going to fall off the chair. So the only way she was comfortable being carried around was in this way, and therefore it was fine. Amemar Marzutra Makasvil B'Shabbat de Riglo. Amemar and Marzutra, they too were carried around on shoulders on Yontif. Ah, you're not supposed to. Meaning, even if you're someone that the rabbis tzrichim lo, but you shouldn't do it in that dramatic way. And the Gemara says, Mishum Biasuso, because they too were scared. Amrilas. Some say mishum duchka de tzibura, because otherwise there would have been a tircha for the tzibur. I guess if you're able to carry the person on your shoulders, so you're going to be able to move quicker. It's going to happen more expeditiously. There'll be less of a toirach of the tzibur, and as a result, we allowed it to happen that way. It's an interesting toisvus. Toisvus says that how was Yalta allowed to be carried around in this way? What emerged from the Gemara is that the only time it's okay is if you're someone that the rabbim strichem loy, a baldarshin maybe, but what was the heter for Yalta to be carried that way? So toisvus says, you have to say v'yesh loymer, Dilma Nami Holcho Litzairich Rabin. It could be that Yalta was a prominent person and she was being carried around on Yontif because there was a Tzairich Rabin. Says Toisvis, why would you think that Yalta would be a person of such significance? So this is hashtag rest of the story, Shabbas Reish Hagoyla Hoysa. Because she was the daughter of the Reish Galusa, Vahayu Rabin Tzrichen Mimena, and there were people that needed her. We know Rav Nachman was the Chasno de Benesir. Throughout Shas, he's the Aden, the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So in addition to Rav Nachman being the great Rav Nachman, but there are Gemaras that are predicated on the fact that he also was an Aden by the Reish Galusa. They were the governing body in Bavel. If Rav Nachman was the Edom of the Reish Galusa and Rav Nachman's wife was Yalta, so this is back to the envelope arithmetic. Obviously, Yalta was the daughter of the Reish Galusa. So as the daughter of the Reish Galusa, forget the fact that she was Rav Nachman's wife, but she was the daughter of the Reish Galusa, which meant that she was an important person. As a result, it's Mestaber says Taisvis that she would have fallen into the heter of someone that's allowed to be carried around. Bottom line is, the Mishnah mentioned, don't carry a slaughtered animal on a pole. From there, we mentioned the price, and it doesn't say anything about slaughtered animals and poles, but mi'inyan le'inyan, very much ba'isa'inyan. We started off with carrying animals. By the end, we're talking about carrying people, and people sh'arabim tzrichem lo. There's an idea of kovid yontif, zulzul yontif. If it's someone that the rabbim needs, in that case, it's going to be, okay, so we go now. Mi'inyan le'inyan, a little bit ba'isa'inyan. The next Gemara is intense. It's geschmack, and it requires a little bit of an introduction. So the next Mishnah is going to discuss the halacha of a bechor. Now, bechor is a sif katan in Hilchus Kachin. There's a whole mesechta called Mesechtas Bechoris that deals with the laws of a bechor. But the basic background Rashi actually gives us. A bechor, meaning the firstborn child of a shor or a keves or an eis, had to be given to a kohen. The Kohen received the Bechor. It had Kedusha, no different than a Chatas and an Oyla and a Shlomim, which meant that he had to take it to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it as a carbon. But there was a very, very important caveat that was unique to the Bechor that does not hold true to any other carbon. And that is, if the Bechor develops a blemish, it develops a mum means a mum kavua. This is a permanent mum. The halacha is, the Bechor is allowed to eat, the Kohen is allowed to eat the Bechor as if it's chulin. He doesn't have to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. That's a very, very big deal. So if the Bechor is a tam, it's a tamim, it doesn't have a mum, or even if it has a mum, but it has a mum over, a transient mum, a mum that's going to pass, that's going to heal, so then it's kachin. He has to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. The shchita has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. If he shechts it outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's shchutei chutz, karis. Once it develops a mum kavua, if it develops a mum kavua, then the halach is he's allowed to shecht it b'chutz. Can't treat it 100% like chulin, but as far as being able to shecht it outside and eating it outside of the makom hamikdash, that's something that without question he would be allowed to do. Now, a bechor b'zman hazeh has kedusha. Bechor is something that's kadosh me'ela. You don't have to say, I want this to be a char in order for it to have kedushas bechor. The fact that this is the firstborn male means that automatically gets kedusha. So kedushas bechor is something that's negeya, even b'zman hazeh. So what do people do today? What do farmers do? So that's a shmooze. But the reality is that if a yid owns a behema and the behema gives birth to a firstborn male child, the halach is it's going to have kedushas bechor. Today there's no Beis HaMikdash, Mepnei Chataenu, Galinu Me'artzenu, Benisrachaknu Me'alad Masenu. We don't have the option today to take a Bechar and bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. So really, what would a person do today with a Bechar? You'd give it to the Kayan, and the Kayan would wait, and he would pray, maybe, that it develops a Mum Kavua. Because if it develops a Mum Kavua, now he has what to eat. Otherwise, he just has to sit around. Because without the Bechar having a Mum Kavua, he has a problem. Now, maybe the Kohen should just go give it a Mum Kavua. You're not allowed to do that. That's an Isser, the Eraisa, to give a Bechor a Mum Kavua. So that's not an option. So really, it's a waiting game. He waits to see if it develops a Mum Kavua. Good. If not, he's never going to be able to eat it. Now, there was a major idea of when a Bechor developed a Mum, if it developed a Mum, how exactly we determine if the Mum is Kavua or if the mum is not kavua. And the reason it's a big deal is because there's a lot of negias. The kohen wants it, b'chura, to have a mum kavua, because if it has a mum kavua, he could eat it. And the kohanim, the gemara says, well, chashud, when it came to these things, so you couldn't even show it to your fellow kohen, because there was just too much negias going around. So there were certain people, they were mumchas, they were experts in this area, they knew how to be boidik mumin, you would show it to them, they were considered true and honest, and they were the ones that would determine what the halach is. So our Mishnah is going to discuss whether it's okay to take an animal that's a bechor, bring it to the mumcha, and have the mumcha inspect it under his proverbial magnifying glass to determine whether this mum that it may have is a mum kavua or not a mum kavua. Meaning, is this something you're allowed to do on yontif, or is this something that you're not allowed to do on yontif? Zok de hilige mishnah, bechar shenof al bar, a bechar that fell into a pit. Rabbi Yehuda says, yerid mumcha v'yerid. A mumcha is allowed to go into the pit, and he's allowed to inspect the animal. Im yesh by mum, if it has a mum yala, you can bring it up yishchay, and he can shecht it. Vim lav, and if it doesn't, lo yishchay, then you're not allowed to shecht it. If it has a mum yala v'yishchay, it's malachas. If it doesn't have a mum kavua, lo yishchayt, nothing to do with yontif. Lo yishchayt, it's a bechor, it has kedusha, you're not allowed to shecht kachim machutz. Reb Shimon says, kol she'ein mum ha'nikim b'yayim, if you didn't know that this had a mum already before yontif, ein zeh menamuchan, the halach is, you would not be able to inspect the mum on yontif. Now there's a lot going on here, as we'll see in the Gemara. But the pashit machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon in our Mishnah is, whether it's okay to be boidik mumin of a bechor on yontif, or whether it's not okay. Rabbi Yehuda said, yered mumcha v'yered. It's okay to be boidik mumin on yontif. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not okay to be boidik mumin on yontif. So the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda is the mekel, Rabbi Shimon is the machmer. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can be boidik mumin on yontif. Rabbi Shimon holds that you cannot be boidik mumin on yontif. Now the first question that jumps off the page is if the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is simply whether you can be boidik mumin on yontif, so why is the Mishnah talking about such an intricate case, a bechor that fell into a pit? You don't need the pit. All you need is the bechor. Bechor shenof al bar. A bechor. You have a mum. I don't know if it's a mum kavua or not. I'm not even allowed to make the decision for myself because I'm an Egeya Bedover. So what I need to do is I need to bring it to a Mumcha. Can I bring it to the Mumcha on Yantif? Can I not? Rabbi Yehuda should say yeah. Rabbi Shimon should say no. Why are we talking about such a fancy case? Bechar Shinof al Bar. Rabbi Yehuda says Yerit Mumcha V'Yeris. It's going to be the Gemara's Kasha. But before we start the Gemara, there's one Hakdama-ish that we need that Rashi speaks out of the Mishnah. But you really can't start the Gemara without it. And that is, when did this Bechar develop the Mum? Did it develop the Mum before Yontif? Or did it develop the Mum on Yontif? Now, you didn't inspect it before Yontif. We're discussing inspecting it on Yontif. But this questionable Mum that you are now bringing to the rabbi, did it have this questionable Mum before Yontif? Or did it develop on Yontif? And does it matter? Maybe, who cares? I don't know. If it happened before Yontif, Gevaldik, if it happened on Yontif, tremendous. Maybe it doesn't matter. So Rashi lays out in the beginning of the sugya that it has to be that this mum was developed before Yontif. If the mum developed on Yontif, this case is dead on arrival. And the reason is because who's the one that's matter you to the mumcha to go take a look at the mum? It's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we know, is the Tana in Shas, that's Islay Mukta. He's the one that's very, very machma when it comes to mukta. If the animal didn't have a mum in the beginning of Yontif, that means when Yontif started, Bein Ashmashes, twilight, there was no way that you were ever going to be able to eat this animal on Yontif. Because it was a Bechar that was a Tam, it didn't have a Mum, it's Kedushay Chutz, there's no way you'd be able to Shecht it, there's no way you'd be able to eat it on Yontif. So if we have a Shaila now, could the Mumcha look at it and maybe allow me to eat it on Yontif, what does that mean? It's not Muktzah. How could it not be Muktzah? Must be the Mum was there already before Yontif. So the person knew that there was a good chance he was going to be able to eat it. It was really pending. It was Ton Shelas Rab, we're going to ask the Mumcha, whatever the Mumcha tells us, that's what we're going to end up doing. But as far as Muktzah goes, Muktzah is not an issue. We're able to bypass that. Why? Because we're talking about where the Mum happened before Yontif. Had the Mum happened on Yontif, meaning had this Bechar that was Nafal Bar been a Bechar Tam, and on Yontif it fell into the bar, and then you look down, you're like, uh-oh, might have broken its leg. It might have some sort of injury that's going to cause it now to have a mum kavuah. That's not a shaila. We would never have that Mishnah. Because that would mean that when Yontif started, it was already a Bechar Tam. If it was a Bechar Tam, it would be Muktzah. And being that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that in the Mishnah is Meikol, that by definition means there's no Muktzah problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Muktzah. So if Rabbi Shimon would be the one that was Meikol, you could tell me Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a Muktzah. So maybe it happened on Yontif. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a Muktzah. If it was some other Tana, you could say that Tana holds like Rabbi Shimon. But it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is Dachta Tana and Shasta. It's Islay Muktzah. So if Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Muktzah, must be that this Mum was already developed before Yontif. Either way, again, the Machloikis is whether you could be Roya Mumin on Yontif, you cannot be Roya Mumin on Yontif. The case is a rather dramatic case where a Bechar fell into a pit, and the question is, could the Mumcha go into the pit, check it out, or not? Says the Gemara. But my Komifli, what's the Machloikis? Meaning, what exactly is the point, the Nekudas HaMachloikis, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Inim, Roya Mumin Komifli, is the Machloikis Roya Mumin, which is what we just said three times. Rabbi Yehuda is Sama Roya Mumin Yontif. Rabbi Shimon is Sama In Roya Mumin Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel, he holds, you're allowed to be Roya Mumin Yontif. Rabbi Shimon's Machmi holds, you're not allowed to be Roya Mumin Yontif. That's L'chura, what the Machloikis is. But the Gemara asks a question. If that's the case, V'lifligu B'Roya Mumin Da'almo. So let's just argue about Roya Mumin, B'char Shanaf Al-Bar. So why we have to be talking about such a case? Says the Gemara, B'char Shanaf Al-Bar, it's Trichalei. The Mishnah wanted to tell us Agav another Chiddush. You're right. The Machloikis is Roya Mumin, Ein Roya Mumin. But Agav Urchi, the Mishnah does this sometimes, I'm going to tell you another Chiddush. You know what that other Chiddush is? That the Mumcha that's going to check out the Mum, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to have to go into the pit. As opposed to what? You're not allowed to bring the animal out of the pit. Now, what's wrong with bringing animals out of pits? It involves a Tircha. Now, if you're doing it, let's say, Chaychel Nefesh, you can shecht it, you can bring it out of the pit. But being that there's a suffix over here, maybe it's going to end up not having a mum kavua, in which case you're not going to be able to shecht it. So it's for that reason you can't bring it out of the pit, but rather yeret mumcha v'yeret. The mumcha has to go down. And that's a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? The Gemara says, I would have thought, because there's a tzar balei chayim factor over here, the animal is lying, it's writhing in pain. So you would have thought, la'arim, we can make a harama. Harama means a wink wink. Veleske, and let's bring it up, ki Rabbi Yeshua, like Rabbi Yeshua said in another context. So this Rabbi Yeshua is going to be later in the Masechta. We've had it already in the 14th cycle of the Daf Yomi Machzer. It's talking about a case where there was an oisei ves benoi, a mother and a child, two animals that fell into a pit on Yontif. Now, the halach is you're allowed to go and take an animal out of a pit if it's l'tzarich eichel nefesh. But if it's not l'tzarich eichel nefesh, it's considered a tircha that you don't need to do. And as a result, you're not allowed to do it. So there was a machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer. Are you allowed to take both of these animals out or not? Rabbi Eliezer said, no, you can take one. Can't take both. Why? Because you can't check both. You can't check them both on Yantiv. So one of them you can take, the other one you can't. Rabbi Yeshua says you can do a haram. He says you can take out one, and then you can change your mind. You could say, you know what, I'm taking this one because this is the animal I like. Then you say, you know what, I want the other one instead. Go in and take the other one. Now, why would we allow you to do that? It's not real. Because of Tzar Bali Chayim, we allowed it to happen. So the Gemara says, you could have thought that if there's an animal in the pit, maybe do a harama. What would be the harama? You see that it has a mum. The mum is probably going to be a mum kavua. I think it's going to be fine. Now, I don't really know, but it's probably going to be okay. So you would have thought, Mishum Tzar Bali Chayim, maybe it's okay, Kamash Malon, that it's not okay. And why talk is it not okay? There's an obvious distinction. In Rabbi Yeshua's case, both animals you technically are allowed to eat. You just can't shech both. So I could say, I'm going to shech this one, and then I could change my mind, I'm going to shech the other one. In the case of the Mishnah, you don't know if you're going to be able to shech it. I don't know if it's kosher or not. I don't know if this is something I'm allowed to slaughter. But either way, the Gemara says that you're right. The Ikar Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is Roya Mumin or not. Why did the Mishnah talk about a case where a Bechor was Nafal Lebar? Because the Mishnah wanted to tell me, Yered Mumcha, that even Rabbi Yehuda only allows the Mumcha to go in. But if you want to bring it up, that's not going to be okay. But the Gemara's not finished. Says the Gemara, Yochi, if that's the case, why did the Sefer of the Mishnah say, the mumcha now is in the pit. He looks at the animal. If it has a mum, yalav yishchet, bring it up. The imlav, and if not, lo yishchet, don't shecht it. Now the truth is, the words lo yishchet are troubling. Why? Because pashat. What's the hamamina lo yishchet? Of course, you can't shecht it. It's kachin. You're outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have a mum kavua. Of course, you're not allowed to. So says the Gemara, lechura, if you're going to tell me that there's an agav chiddush going on in the Mishnah, and that is that you're not allowed to take the animal out with the harama because of Tzar Bali Chayim. So why did the Mishnah say lo yishchet? What it should have said was lo yalav yishchet mi baile. Shouldn't it have said lo yalav yishchet? And that, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, would give the Mishnah a little bit of meaning. Meaning, the chiddush is not lo yishchet, because there really is no chiddush in lo yishchet. But lo yalav yishchet, oh, das hashtek la chiddush. You would have thought that you're allowed to take it out, maybe to shecht it. So lo yalav yishchet. So the Gemara says that the reason it didn't say that was lo yitzricha da'avar va'aske. The reason the Mishnah didn't say lo yalav yishchet was the Mishnah saying a different chiddush. The Mishnah saying that even if you brought it out of the pit already, still then, you're not allowed to shecht it. You would have thought you were allowed to shecht it. Kamash mo, then you're not allowed to shecht it. Had it said, lo yalav yishchet, you would think, I only can't l'katchila take it out to shecht. But maybe once I brought it up, I could shecht it. Kamash mo, you can't. Fake the Gemara, you can't even read it. Lishchetei, how could you shecht it? Otamu. It's natan. Someone says, let me explain to you what I meant. Lo yitzricha d'nafal beimum. It's talking about, you know what lo yishchet means? Lo yishchet means, what would be if after you already brought it up, or even didn't bring it up, it developed a mum kavua. Now it developed a mum kavua. Can I shecht it now, or could I not shecht it now? That's what the Mishnah is saying, v'im lav lo yishchet, that the mumcha inspected it, there was no mum kavua. But then later, it developed a mum kavua. So you would have thought that if later it developed a mum kavua, maybe that in and of itself is going to be okay. That's the chiddush lo yishchet, even if it develops a mum kavua later. That shouldn't be okay. We spoke out, right before we started the Gemara, that the mum kavua has to be a mum kavua that was there before Yontif. And the mumcha is just expecting it to see whether it was there before Yontif, wasn't there before Yontif. But if it develops on Yontif, it's going to be muktzah. Samar says, no. You know what happened? El denafel be mum over me'er Yontif. It's talking about where there was a mum over already in Erev Yontif. And now that mum over developed into a mum kavua. I would have thought, daita ilavei, v'nishchetei. Maybe being that it was already there, Erev Yontif, something was there, albeit a mum over. So maybe that's enough to say that now it's not going to be muktzah because it was daita ilavei. Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktzah. So you're right. If the mum kavua just came out of nowhere on Yontif, true, that's a problem because that's going to be muktzah. But what if there was a mum over before Yontif and then it developed, it progressed into a mum kavua? Maybe that would be okay. Kamashmo, and that's the chiddush. that it's not going to be okay. So just to summarize this, because this requires a little bit of a summary. The Mishnah mentions a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Are you allowed to be Roya Mumin on Yantif? Are you not allowed to be Roya Mumin on Yantif? The context is a Bechar. If it has a Mum Kavua, you're allowed to shecht it as if it's Chulin. If it doesn't have a Mum Kavua, it's Kachem Machutz, you would not be able to shecht it. Am I allowed to take it to a Mumcha? He's the expert. He knows these things. On Yantif, let him inspect it, and not let him inspect it. Rabbi Yehuda says you can, Rabbi Shimon says you cannot. And really, the Mishnah could have just said that, and everything would have been very simple. But the Mishnah didn't say it simply. The Mishnah put it into a case and threw in some language that Chazal were a little bit unsure of why they threw it into. And as a result, there's two Agav Urche Chedushin that come out. Number one, the case was where Bechar fell into a bar. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Yered Mumcha V'yere. Why did we need this case? To teach us that even though Rabbi Yehuda allows you to inspect the Mum, but it's Yered Mumcha V'yere. You can't bring the animal up to inspect it. You have to go into the blotter. You have to go into the pit. Why would you think you could bring the animal up? You would have thought you could do it with a haram, mishum tzar balechayim. Why can't you? At the end of the day, it's a tircha, and you can't take the chance. Then maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe it's not going to be okay. So you want to inspect it, that's fine. But yered mum chavir. Additionally, the Mishnah said, im yesh by mum, that's great. The im lav lo yishchay, which the Gemara was very bothered with those words. Im lav lo yishchay, of course im lav lo yishchay. What's the chiddush? Oh, the chiddush of the im lav lo yishchay is that what would be if the mum that was there, erev yantiv, was determined to not be a mum. However, there was a mum oiver that was there before yantiv, and that progressed into a mum kavur on yantiv. There you would have thought that maybe it's okay, that you're a ladashach, kamash mulon lo yishchay. Because the only time you're able to shecht it is going to be if the mumcha determines that the mum was there already before Yantif. Why? Because who's the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Mukta. And because Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Mukta, so that's for that reason, that's the only time it's going to be okay. So again, one more time, because it's going to be negay for the next Gemara. What's Rabbi Yehuda's shink in the Mishnah? You're allowed to be Roya Mumin on Yantif. That's not a problem. If the Bechar is in a pit, you can't bring the Bechar out and inspect it. The mumcha has to go into the pit and inspect it that way. The only time it's okay is if the mum kavua was already there before yantiv. The mumcha says this mum kavua was there before yantiv, then it's going to be fine. If, however, the mum kavua develops on yantiv, even if there was a mum over before yantiv and it progresses into a mum kavua on yantiv, now there's a mukta problem because Rabbi Yehuda's islay mukta, that's going to be an issue as well. Zakti gemar tana rabbanan. A braisa that said the same thing that the Mishnah said, almost. Bechar tam. Shenaf alabar, that fell into a bar. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, Yerid mumcha v'yir. Mumcha is allowed to go into the pit. Im yesh my mum. If there's a mum, yalav yishchayt, bring it out and shecht it. Vim lav. And if not, lo yishchayt, you're not allowed to shecht it. So before we go weiter, because this is going to be a bal plukta in this braisa, this is gewaldig. It sounds like this braisa is the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. So first of all, it's not the same Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi speaks of that. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi, Talmud Rabbi Akiva. The Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that was Rabbi, the author of the Mishnah, a generation later. So it's not the same Tana. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, and the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, number one. Number two, it feels a little bit like what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said is verbatim what Rabbi Yehuda the Tana said. But if you look carefully, there's one word that's different. And that makes the whole difference. The Braisna says, Bechar tam, shenaf alabar. The Mishnah said, Bechar shenaf alabar. Zok Rashi, long Rashis, and Toistvises, and different Yersois. But says Rashi, it makes the whole difference. You know why? Bechar tam means that when the animal fell into the pit, on Yontif, it was a tam. Then it landed, it hurt itself, which makes sense, and now all of a sudden you have a shaila. Does it have a mum kavua? Does it not have a mum kavua? And what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi say? Yerid mum chavira. Go and check, and if it has a mum kavua, it's going to be fine. Zok Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah couldn't have said that. Why? Because this is mukta. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is the Tana. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi is the Tana that is like mukta. So if it would have been a Bechar Tama, it would have been a problem. That's the Hakdama we gave, which is Mefurish and Rashi. Where Rashi says, Al Karchach, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a mukta, his Bechar had already the mum before Yontif. So it wasn't a Bechar Tam Shanaf Alabar. It was a Bechar Shanaf Alabar. It was a Bechar Shanaf Alabar. Because if it was a Bechar Tam, it would mean it developed the mum on Yontif. It developed the mum on Yontif. Yeah, forget about Royim Mum and Ein Royim Mum. Forget about Tirchas. You have a Muktzah problem. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is less like Mukta. And because Rabbi Yehuda is less like Mukta, he didn't have a problem with Mukta. So he said the same exact halacha. What's the difference? The difference is not Bechor. The difference is it could even be a Bechor town. But in the Cheshbon of the previous Gemara, says Rashi, there's one nafkamina that comes out between the way Rabbi Yehuda learned and the way Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi learned. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said the same thing Rabbi Yehuda said. Yerid mumcha v'yir. Why does the mumcha have to go down? Because it's a tercha to bring the animal out. I do a haroma mishum tzar balichayim. Haroma doesn't work. And then he said, im yesh boi mum, if there's a mum ya'alav yishchit, shechte. V'im lav, if there's no mum, lo yishchit. He said, then, you're not going to be able to shechte. Now, we struggled in the Gemara. What's the chiddish v'im lav lo yishchit? Of course, im lav lo yishchit. It's a regular b'char tam. Doesn't have a mum. It's shchute chutz. Of course you wouldn't be able to shechte. What did the Gemara say? The chiddush is, even if there was a mum over before Yantif, which progressed into a mum kavua, still lo yishche because of muktzah. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi doesn't hold a muktzah. All right, the whole case was where it happened on Yantif. Bechor tam shenaf alabar. He doesn't have a problem with muktzah. So what's v'im lav lo yishchet? What's, of course, lo yishchet? It's pasha lo yishchet. So Rashi says that you're going to have to say that v'im lav lo yishchet means not lo yishchet, but lo yal of yishchet. The chiddush is that you're not allowed to bring it up. The chiddush is that you're not allowed to bring it up. And even though we already know you're not allowed to bring it up, because he said, yereid mumcha, so that clearly suggests that the mumcha has to go into the bar, you can't bring it up. But he said it a second time. Yereid mumcha, and lo yal of yishchet. But you're right, the chiddush is not lo yishchet, the chiddush is lo yal of yishchet. Fake Rashi, if you have a teretz of lo yishchay just means lo yal of yishchay, so why do we make a big deal about it in the previous Gemara? So Rashi says, in the previous Gemara, you had a good teretz. You didn't have to say that lo yishchay means lo yal of yishchay. It's obviously a doichik. So you didn't have to say it, because you'd say lo yishchay means lo yishchay, no matter what happens later, even if it develops a new mum later, because Rabbi Yehuda is a slay muksa. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was clearly less slay muksa, because his case is a bechar tam shenav alavar. So you can't say that. So you have no choice. You have no choice. Instead of saying lo yishchay, you'll have to say that it means lo yal of yishchay. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is really Rabbi Yehuda Shita with one huge difference, and that is Rabbi Yehuda's Islay Mukta, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is Leslay Mukta, Lamay Nafgamina, the Ikar Halach of Roya Mumin, it doesn't make a difference. But where it makes a Nafgamina is this Bechar that fell into a bar. Did it have to be a Bechar that already had the Mum from before Yontif? That's what Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, because otherwise he was Makatza Daite, you have a Mukta problem. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it could even be a Bechar Tam, and also will happen Nafgamina what Lo Yishchot means. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could say Geshmak, Lo Yishchot means even if it develops a mum later, lo yishchay. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it's not true. So lo yishchay would have to mean a doichik lo yal of a yishchay. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is only the first Tana that's mentioned in this braisa. Amalei Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh told him. So it's interesting. In our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's not Rabbi Yehuda who's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi. It's not Rabbi Shimon who's Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. In the braisa, it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Completely different Tana. So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh told Rabbi Yehuda, is that true? Yerid mumcha v'yira haray amru. I know Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai held ein roya mumah b'yantif. That you're not allowed to be roya mumah b'yantif. And mean that he holds ein roya mumah b'yantif. I disagree with you. So again, the machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi, the same machloikas as the machloikas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi elaborated a little bit on Rabbi Shimon Shita. Meaning in our Mishnah, all Rabbi Shimon said was that if there's no mum before yantif, you can't inspect it on Yontif. That's just not something you're allowed to do. So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh elaborated, and that's going to take us through the end of the Daf Ketzad. He said, "Noila by mum erev Yontif. If in a bechor developed a mum on erev Yontif in mevaker noisa b'yontif, you're not allowed to the katchila check it on Yontif. Noila by mum b'yontif. If it developed the mum on Yontif itself, Rabbi Shimon says, ein zemen amuchan, that you're not allowed to check it on Yontif. But this is even more chomer. The way Rashi explains that b'di'evet, even if you check it, it's not going to be okay. Meaning, if the mum was there before Yontif, you weren't supposed to check it. But if you checked it, shechtet. If it developed on Yontif, you're not supposed to check it. And even if you checked it, it's not going to be okay. V'shovin, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree, she'im noilad hu umumoy imoy, she'zemen amuch. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that if the animal was born with the mum, so it was born literally with the mum, that it's considered muchan, and then you would be able to check in on Yontif. Even Rav Shimon that holds you, you're not allowed to check in on Yontif, and in some cases, even b'di'evet, if you check it, you're not allowed to eat it. But if it was born together with the mum, it's going to be fine. And what's the reason? So there's a little bit of a lumdish Rashi. Rashi says that the reason is, because why does Rav Shimon hold you, you're not allowed to check a mum on Yontif? We never even spoke this out. Rashi says it a few times in the sugya. What's the problem? The problem is because checking an animal for a mum and then paskening that it's okay is mesaken mana. It's like a makabe patish type of idea. You know how to perfect something on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and saying that this animal has a mum kavua counterintuitively is perfecting it, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. So if the animal was becheskas iser, meaning the Bechor was born, it didn't have a mum kavua, as far as we know. And now you're going and you're saying it has a mum kavua. So you're taking something that was not okay, you're making it okay. That's mesaken mana, that's the kind of thing Rav Shimon doesn't want you to do on Yom Tov. If it was born together with the mum, it never was becheskas iser. Because it was never becheskas iser, paskening that it's okay is not such a big deal. And as a result, that's something that you would be allowed to do on Yom Tov. But the bottom line is that Rav Shimon ben Asya just gave us the extended version of Shitas Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah just says you can't be right woman on Yom Tov. True. But let's elaborate it. There's three se'ifei katan. So katan aleph. If the womb was developed erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to check it on Yom Tov, but the evidence, if you checked it, shecht it. It's dinner. If the womb was developed on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to shecht it, and if you're not allowed to check it, and if you checked it, it's not okay. If it was born with the womb, that's what Rav Shimon is made to Rav Yehuda. In that case, it's going to be okay. Torah, Rabbi Barafuna. Rabbi Barafuna said, Noilad hu amu ma'ima. If the animal was born together with the womb, mevakir noiz b'yantav l'katchilo, can you let it check it l'katchilo on yantav? Only Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman told Rabbi Barafuna, Abba Tani, your father, Rabbi Barafuna's father was Rafuna, your father had a different version. He said, "Avar ubikray mevoker." But the yevet, if it was noilad hu umumayima, you'd be allowed to check it. You're going too far. Your father never said that. You said that you're allowed to check it lekatchila. No, but the yevet, it's going to be okay. But lekatchila not. Amr Abayis. Abayis said, "Kavasad Rabbi Barafuna mestaber." It's mestaber like Rabbi Barafuna. Again, what Rabbi Barafuna say? If it was born with the mum, you're allowed to check it lekatchila. What's the raya from the brayse we just mentioned? Because midik tani tlos abavi. Rav Shimon Manasi had three cases. Noilad boy mum erev yontif. If it was born without the mum, but the mum was noilad erev yontif. Ein mevakir noisa biyontif lekatchila. Ein mevakir noisa biyontif lekatchila. Who the loy had the evet chapadami, which means lekatchila and aladu, but the evet it's going to be fine. Noilad boy mum biyontif. If the mum was noilad on yontif, Rav Shimon noimi ein zemen amuchin dafil the evet nabilad, which means even with the evet it's not going to be okay. V'hadu tani. Then we have a third case. V'shavim shen noilad who mumayim oish zemen amuchin. What's the third case? Lekatchila no, but with the evet fine. That's the first case. Even with the Evan not okay, that's the second case. What could the third case be? Must be that Filakatchila Nami, that it's even going to be good. The Katchila. Sabaya told Rav Nachman that, what do you want from Rabbi Baravuna? What he said is a Mefurish Abraisa. But the Gemara says, 1 second, there's another Abraisa. Fakiyas Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Shaya came also by Isa Masisa Biyadi. He brought the following Abraisa. Ben Shinoil by Mum Erev Yantiv. Where the Mum was Noil at Erev Yantiv. Ben Shinoil by Mum Yantiv. Or the Mum was Noil at Yantiv. Chachamim Oimrim. The Chachamim say, Ein Zemin Amuchon. It's not Muchon. And as a result, Allah is, you're not going to be able to shecht it. Not only you can't check it. And even if you check it, it's not going to be okay. So what do you see from this braisa? From this braisa, it's mashma that cases 1 and 2 are really the same. They're both not good, even b'di'evet. If that's the case, you can say that noilad hu umumayimai is going to be good b'di'evet. It's just not going to be good l'katchila. In the first braisa, if there's three stages and three different classes, then for sure noilad hu umumayimai is mutar l'katchila. Because asma l'katchila mutar b'di'evet is accounted for. Asa l'katchila and asa b'di'evet is accounted for. So if there's a third box, obviously it means that it's even mutar l'katchila. But Rabbi Shaya's price didn't have it that way. So because Rabbi Shaya's price didn't have it that way, so l'chura, based on that, it should be okay. So Mar says, ala kashahach. So at the end of the day, you have a steer between two brises. So basically what you just said is you have a steer between two brises. There was a machlokes Rabbi Barafuna and Ravuna, the way Rav Nachman said it over, whether if it was noilad hu amumayimah, is it mutar l'katchila or is it only mutar b'di'evet? Abaye said, I have a brise like Rabbi Ravuna. The Gemara said, we have a brise of Rabbi Shaya like Ravuna. So I hear at the end of the day, the machlokes Rabbi Ravuna and Ravuna just turned into a steer of brises. So what do we do with it? So the Gemara says something fascinating. The Gemara says, Ahi, the first brise, adabar uchmehi. This brise comes from Adabar Uchmi, the Meshabish Fetani. Rashi says, quote, At Dibra Maskal Adabar Uchmihu, Chacham Echad, this was a Chacham, Shoyamakirim boy, Shoyagoris Mishnayas, he used to say over Mishnayas, Umishakeach Umishabsha. But he used to make mistakes with these Mishnayas. So the first Braisa is the Braisa of Adabar Uchmi, and Adabar Uchmi Braisa, that's not something we look at. Omra Nachma Yitzchok, Nachma Yitzchok said, Masnisa Nami Deke, the Mishnah is actually Mashma, also one way. Tiktani, Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon said, Kol She'ein Mumay Nikar, Ein Me'erev Yontif, Ein Zeman Amuchim. If you didn't see the woman Erev Yontif, it's not going to be okay. What is it? Meaning it's B'dievet, it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, my Ein Mumay Nikah. What does Ein Mumay Nikah mean? Ilay Nisha Ein Mumay Nikah Klal doesn't mean that it was Ein Mumer. It wasn't Nikah at all. Pshita. Tzricha L'meimer. What did Rav Shimon say in the Mishnah? Rav Shimon said, if the mum wasn't there before Yontif, then it's not going to be okay. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Pashit means if there was no mum there before Yontif, it's going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, Pashit. Why? Because who's Rav Shimon's Baal Plukta in our Mishnah? Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds a Mukta. So obviously, if the mum wasn't there before Yontif, it's not. Rav Shimon knows Rav Yehuda's Shita Mukta. He's the one who, throughout Shaz, duels it out with him in the Sugya Mukta. He knows Rav Yehuda holds a Mukta. So he knows that if the mum's not there before Yontif, we're not having this conversation. So what did Rav Shimon mean when he said, Kol She'ein Mumay Nikr? Elo Dolo Yischazi L'Chacham Erev Yontif. In Mum Kavua, Mum Oiver. The point is, what he meant to say was that if he didn't show it to a Chacham Erev Yontif, then it's going to be a problem. And what do you see from here? K'tani Mios, Ein Zeman Amucha. That if you didn't show it to a Chacham Erev Yontif, it does, even though it developed the mum already in Erev Yontif. Again, Rav Shimon in the Mishnah has to be talking about where the mum was there before Yontif. That's the Akdama we spoke out to the whole Gemara. If the mum didn't happen before Yontif, there's no Mishnah. Why? Forget about Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda doesn't start. Because Rav Yehuda holds a muksa. So if the mum was not there before Yontif, you're going to have a muksa problem. Baal Korchak, the mum was there before Yontif. So if the mum was noil before Yontif, and still Rav Shimon said, Ein Mina Mukhan, which means that even with the Eved, you're not allowed to use it. So if you're not allowed to use it, even with the Eved, Zoysoy Meris, Rav Shimon's Shita is that if it was noil before Yontif, and you show it to a Rav, with the Eved, you can't use it. If it was Noila and Yontif and you show it to the Mumcha, B'dievet, you can't use it. So they both fall into the same class. If that's the case, what's Noila Hu and Mumayim are going to be? Noila Hu and Mumayim is going to be. It's not going to get Chila. It is going to be B'dievet, Shmamina. That's the Raya to Rav Huna, not like Rabba by Rav Huna. So the Gemara now is going to bring another Ibaya, an Ibaya that at first glance doesn't feel like it has anything to do with our Sugya, but the Gemara is going to tie it into our Sugya for one Knech, and it's because of that we're bringing it here. Sakti Gemara, Boy mine Hillel me Rava. So it's interesting. This Hillel is, of course, not Hillel Azakin. This is the Amoira Hillel, presumably the Hillel of the calendar fame. That's interesting because the Amoira Hillel is sometimes referred to as Hillel and sometimes referred to as Rav Hillel. If you look in that Goy Sabach says Rav Hillel. So here you have the two Gersois. But either way, Boy mine Hillel me Rava, Yesh Mukta Lechatzi Shabbos. I ain't mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. Could you have something mukta l'chatzi Shabbos or not? So this sounds like a heavy ibaya. Yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what does it even mean? Let's just break it down. Take a step backwards before we get excited in the lumdus of this question. Ida ichsi bein hashmashes. What's mukta? Mukta means if you want to use something on Shabbos or Yontif, it has to be right to be used bein hashmashes. Bein hashmashes is when the din v'cheshbon happens with all the utensils and all the things in your house whether you can be able to use it or not. If it's something that was mukhan bein hashmashes, you can use it on Shabbos or Yontif. If it wasn't mukhan bein hashmashes, you can use it on Shabbos Yontif. So the Gemara says this thing of mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, is it something you were able to use bein hashmashes ichsi? Then it's mukhan. Either lo yichsi, and if not, lo yichsi. So what exactly does this even mean? So the Gemara says, Leitzrichan de ichsi, v'hoder idri, v'hoder ichsi. The case is false. The case is where you had something, bein hashmashes, it was 100% able to be used. You had fruit that was delicious. You were going to be able to use it. On Shabbos, on Yontif, something happened, it rained on it, and it went bad. And then the sun came out, and it was hoder ichsi. Now it's good again. My, what's the halacha? Is it good or is it not good? Do you say that when something becomes muktza, be'emtza ha-Shabbos, it remains muktza for the rest of Shabbos, or muktza is 100% dependent on bein hashmashes? So if bein hashmashes was muktza, it's muktza, but if bein hashmashes wasn't muktza, it's not muktza. That's the shaila of yesh muktza l'chatzi Shabbos or not. We know muktza is all about bein hashmashes. But what happens if bein hashmashes it was beseder? And then on Shabbos something happened. Does it now become muktza for the rest of Shabbos or no? So he told him back, this was the question that Hillel or Rav Hillel asked Rava, and Rava told him, yesh muktza. Yeah, muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. The Gemara Eisvei Akasha v'Shavim. Everybody agrees. Shem noilad umumay imoy shezem en amuch. That if the bechar, interesting, was born together with the mum, that it's going to be mucha. Meaning, even Rav Shimon, who doesn't have a problem with who holds ein roi mumen on yontif, but if the bechar was noilad umumay imoy, being that it never had a cheskas iser, as a result, you're going to be able to check it. But the point is, a Bechar that's noilad, umuma yimai, is something that you're allowed to eat. Even Rav Shimon, who's very machman in our sugya, yeah, show it to a mumcha. If the mumcha says it's fine, you're good to go. How are you allowed to eat this animal? Neima, why don't we say, hai Bechar mekara havichazi agavime. This Bechar was something that in the beginning of Shabbos, the beginning of Yontif, you were allowed to eat together with the mother. If you would have shechted the mother, the bechor would have been fine. And that's based on the fact that a bechor gets its kedusha when it's born. Before it's born, it doesn't have any kedusha. So it gets its kedusha when it's born. So l'chura, you would have shechted it. It would have been fine. So if that's the case, why don't we say that this bechor was right to be eaten before it was born? It's yaledle when it was born itchile. It became problematic because now it's a bechor. Bechor, if it is a tam, you're not going to be able to eat it. Achse l'chacham, now you showed it to the chacham, ishterile. Now it's good again. But here's the problem. If yesh muktza l'chatzi Shabbos, so there was an interim period that you weren't sure if you were allowed to eat it. So if there was an interim period that you weren't sure that you were allowed to eat it, it should be muktza. So bishloim if ein muktza l'chatzi Shabbos, bein ashmoshes, this bechor was kosher, because it wasn't born yet. So you could have shechted the mother, eaten the child with it, and as a result, everything would have been fine. The child is mutter with the shechit of the mother, so you wouldn't have had any issues. But if you hold yesh muktzah b'chatzi Shabbos, so when it was born, it became muktzah. So the kash is really on Rabbi Yehuda. How could Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah allow you to eat this v'shav, and everybody agrees that that's going to be fine? No, not everybody agrees. This is a muktzah problem. The only time you're ever going to be able to eat this bechor is if the mum had developed before Yontif. This animal wasn't even born before Yontif. So I know what you're going to tell me. Oh, I understand it wasn't born. That's actually a maila, because it was mutter agav the mother before Yontif. But if yesh muktzah b'chatzi Shabbos, so then when it was born, all of a sudden, whoa, we have to go ask the mumcha. So before we ask the mumcha, we don't know what the story is. At that minute, it became muktzah. Once you become muktzah, middle of Shabbos. Say if a muktzah b'chatzi Shabbos, you don't have this new chiddush of muktzah middle of the day. What does it even mean? And a chanami. But if Rava told Rav Hillel or Hillel yesh muktzah b'chatzi Shabbos, so now you have a problem. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abayi v'Tamei Rav Safra." They made it a kimtik. You're going to yasvi daini hasam. It's talking about with the dayanim standing there, literally as the animal was giving birth. The dayanim were watching to see what the story was. So there was never a second where it was itchi. Meaning, when it was in the mother's womb, it was in the mother's womb. And then the minute, the second this animal came out, he said, "Yeah, mum kavua, done." So as a result, it never became muktzah. There was never a second where it was a problem. That's it. It was fine. Ikadamri, some had another version of the exchange between Rava and Rav Hillel, and that is Amale Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. So when Rav Hillel asked Rava the question, Yesh Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, so he told him Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. And Rav says, Leimim Misayei Ale L'Churi Kamringa Rai V'Shavim Shenoylan U'Mumayimoy Shnezeh Min Amuchem. So here he said, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. So if it's Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, here he brought a raya. V'Bechor Mekara HaVechazei Agavime. The Bechor was Mutter Agavime. Isyalud Le, when it was born, Itchile. He got pushed away. Achsei L'Chacham Ishtari Le. And you see that it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? It should be Muktzah. Oh, must be Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. It's a raya that Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. Amar Abayi V'Tamei Rav Safra. So Abayi V'Tamei Rav Safra said that there's no raya going to Yasvi Daini Hasam. It's talking about with the Dayanim there, as a result, you have no raya to Ein Muktzah B'chatzi Shabbos. So we're in the middle of a digression now. The Gemara is discussing this halacha. Yesh Muktzah B'chatzi Shabbos, or Ein Muktzah B'chatzi Shabbos. Tashma, bring your right. If somebody was eating grapes, v'hoyser, he had leftovers. The Helon Lagag, so he decided to bring it onto the roof. Lasis mem tzmukim, he's going to make raisins from it. B'te'enim, he was in the middle of eating figs. V'hoyser, he had leftover figs. The Helon Lagag, he brought it to his roof. Lasis mem greigers, to make dried figs. Lo yoichamem, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat from the raisins of the dried figs, ad sheyasmen boydem, unless you prepare it before Shabbos. This is happening before Shabbos. Friday afternoon, tayameh, you're eating grapes, you're eating ta'inim, and then you decide you have some leftovers, you want to put it up on the roof, you want to let it dry out, so it's going to become raisins, it's going to become figs. You want to eat those raisins and figs on Shabbos, that's fine, but you have to be making it. If you're not making it, then we assume it's out for the long haul, and as a result, you can't eat it on Shabbos. V'chena tamoitze b'farsikin, the same is true for peaches, u'b'chavush, and other types of fruits, u'b'shar komine peres. This is true for all fruit. This is a b'rais. So the Gemara says like this, hey chidami, what exactly is the rest of the background to this halacha? Idachazu, are we talking about where these raisins and these figs, before Shabbos, were chazu, they were perfectly dried, meaning you could eat them, Lama le'azmana? Why do you have to be masman? You don't have to go into your kitchen, open up your cabinets and your refrigerator. I want to eat this, I want that, I want this challah, I want this. You don't have to do that, because if it's food, it's food. So if the food was already prepared, you shouldn't have to do the hazmana. And eat the lo'ichazu, and if it wasn't right to be eaten yet, ki'azmul humayhava, then even if you prepared it, it shouldn't be okay. And this is based on the idea that there are things that are so muktzah that even if you prepare it, it doesn't help. An evan. You can't say, I'm going to use this evan on Shabbos. No. An evan is muktzah machmas kufay, and as a result, even if you make it, it shouldn't be okay. So without doing a deep dive into the sugya muktzah, the Gemara is assuming that these fruit that are in the process of being dried would be so muktza that even if you would be making it, it wouldn't help. So the Gemara says, what's the case over here? Maybe the case is talking about where the person doesn't know if it dried or not. And that's why he's being mechin. But the Gemara says, that shouldn't change anything. Because Rav Kahana said, Mukta sheyavish, if you have mukta that dried up, in a Bayil Makirin boy, and the Bayil doesn't know that it dried, mutter, the Allah is, it's mutter. Meaning, if you don't know what happened, then your das is not going to change anything anyways, because it's a maman of shach. If it's roi lachila, then it's fine. And if it's not roi lachila, it's not fine. So what is the case here? I'm not struggling in the context of the sugyas of mukta to understand this braisa. A person was eating fruit, he had some leftovers, he decided he's going to put it up on the roof, he's going to let it out to dry. He wants to eat it now on Shabbos. If you were making it before Shabbos, you could. If you can't, you can't. The Gemara says, I don't understand this halacha. It just doesn't make sense. If you could eat it, it's fine. If you can't eat it, you can be making it from today till tomorrow. It's not going to help you anyways. So the Gemara says, maybe this is the case. Elalaf, maybe what's going on over here is the chazu. Maybe it's talking about that the person wants to be meichin for the following event. This is what he's saying. He knows that right now it's okay, but he wants to leave it up on the roof. You know what he was afraid of? He was afraid it might start raining on Shabbos. And if it rains on Shabbos, it's going to go bad. But he also knows the sun may come out, and then it's going to dry it up. It's going to be good again. He's trying to preempt that scenario. So he says like this. He says that I know now I don't have to be meichin it. Right now it was good. But what happens if on Shabbos, for an interim period, it goes bad? I'm going to want it in case it gets good again. So he's making it now in that event. Meaning, El Alav Duchas. So right now it was good. But the Itchu, he's preempting that it's going to go bad. V'hadar Ichzu, and it's going to be good again. Zok the Braisa, that if he's making it, it's fine. So Gemara says, I'm not a Mukta. But if you hold a Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos, Lama Duhazmana, then what do you have to do this for? So Bishlam, if Yesh Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos, so that could be an issue, so therefore he has to be making it for that issue. But if a mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, that's anyways not going to be mukta, so why would you have to be making it? Again, the Braisa didn't say a word about mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, but the Braisa was awesome, and it's saying something clearly that we're not 100% aware of, so we're trying to back into our shtickl Torah. So Gemara says, maybe the Braisa is a yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos issue, but that would prove yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, because no such thing as mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. You need a braisa to talk about this. So the Gemara says, no. Loitzricha, the achsu, v'loy achsu. Really, that's not the case. The case is talking about where this person was eating fruit, he put it up on the roof, it's in the middle of drying, it's not perfectly dry, and at the same time, it's not perfectly not dry. It's gray area sometimes in life. It's not, everybody would eat it, but it's also not nobody would eat it. It's not ke'itzadav on it. It's in a situation where it's achsu v'loyachsu. It's somewhere in between. There were people that would eat it. There are people that wouldn't eat it. Therefore, asman, if he prepares a goli daite, then therefore he's allowed to eat it. Loy asman, if he doesn't prepare it, loy goli daite, and therefore it's not going to be okay. Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said, regarding this child of yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, or ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, Toshma, I'll bring you a ride from somewhere else. L'chur you can bring a raya from beans and lentils. Interesting raya. The pulim v'adashim meikar chazul lachas. Raw beans, raw lentils, you could eat. You could chew them. Shadunu b'kdeh, you put it into a pot. Itchuleh. Now you can't eat it. While the pot is boiling, you can't eat it. Gomer b'shulayah, when it finishes cooking, chazulu. Then it's going to be okay. Now on yontif, you're allowed to cook pulim v'adashim. So yes, Reb Zeira, why are you allowed to cook pulim v'adashim on yontif? L'chur it shouldn't be okay. Why? Because it's going to be a mukta l'chatzi Shabbos problem. Because while it's in the pot, it's going to be mukta. If yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, that should be done. So Amalei Abayi told Reb Zeira, ulitamech according to tikshu l'cha kederes da'alma. All kederes. Meaning, forget about mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. I don't understand how you could have a cook for Shabbos. Why? The hastam kederes da'alma bein hashmashes roischeis. Most kederes bein hashmashes they're roischeis. They're boiling, which means you can't eat them. Rashi says people usually take their food off the fire is Bein Hashmashes, last second. So you take it off last second, which means Bein Hashmashes, it was still boiling. So if it was still boiling, Bein Hashmashes, Ula Urto Achlin Benayim, and you eat it at night. Now, if you're going to tell me when it's Rois Chasis Mukta, and that's why you want to tell me cooking on Yontif could be a Mukta L'chatzin Shabbos, forget about Mukta L'chatzin Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, Bein Hashmashes, the food is Mukta. So even if you hold a Mukta L'chatzin Shabbos, everybody holds a Mukta Bein Hashmashes, so Bein Hashmashes was Mukta, how you ever allowed to eat it? Ella, you have to say that food in a pot is not mukta. You know why? Because gomra bidei adam loy kami bayulon. Ki kami bayulon gomra bidei shamay. If I can control the fate of my food, that's not mukta. What's mukta? You're masich das from the food. If you're cooking food for Shabbos, the last thing you are is being masich das from this food. I write this second, it's in a in-between stage where you can't eat it. Yeah, I know that, but you know what's on the pot, and you can control your chicken soup, and it's eventually going to be something that you'll be able to eat, and as a result, it's not going to be an issue. The reason there was a Muktzeh L'Chatzei Shabbos problem was because the case was talking about where a person put fruit on a roof, where if it rains, it's going to go bad, and he'll need the sun to come out. That you can't control the sun, and as a result, that's something that's above your pay grade. Therefore, there's a Muktzeh problem. But pots and food, that's not a Muktzeh. She never makatsa das from food while it's in this interim state, and as a result, you can't bring a raya from here to the sugya of... You can't bring a riot here to the sugya of Yesh Muktzeh L'Chatzei Shabbos or not. So today's daf was intense. It was a little bit long. We're going to end with an attached raid bite. The name of the raid bite, very much in Yonah D'Yoyma, is Hoshana Rabbah and the 955 heavens. That is today's related raid bite. So today's daf is a very geshmaka daf. A lot of Divrei Halacha and Divrei Agada in today's daf. But the theme of the last few dafin has been the mitzvah of Arava v'mlo yachshav emasai. So just to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Arava and specifically the day of Hoshana Rabbah. So the topic of the last few days has been the mitzvah of Arava. And one thing was clear, and that is that the mitzvah of Arava was different on the seventh day of Sukkot than it was the other days. We learned the Mishnah in today's daf on daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. B'chol Yoyim, every single day, they were makif the Mizbeach with the Aravos one time. But on the seventh day, they were makif seven times. We saw the Mishnah at the very beginning of the parak. The Mishnah said, Arava Shisha V'Shiva. Sometimes Arava was Deicha Shabbos, sometimes Arava wasn't Deicha Shabbos. What did it depend on? The seventh day of Sukkot, then Arava is Deicha Shabbos. Any other day of Sukkot, Arava is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. So clearly there's something special about Arava, and there's something special about the seventh day of Sukkot. So the truth is, this is really two parts, and the Gemara is still going to talk about it a little bit, but just to talk a little bit about the seventh day of Sukkot. So we're discussing here the seventh day of Sukkot, specifically as it relates to the mitzvah of Arava. The Mechaber in Hilchas Lulav, and this is Simon Tovreish Samech Dalet, Sivkon Aleph, says as follows, B'yoyim Shvi, on the seventh day of Sukkot, Shehu Hoshana Rabbah, says the Shulchan Aruch, which is the day that's known as Hoshana Rabbah, Noyagin Laharbois B'mizmoirim K'may B'yantiv. The meaning is to be marbe b'mizmoirim during davening. There's an Indian to have zmirois, to sing songs, just like we do on Yontif. The Ramah says, uva'oimrim, just, it's a long Ramah, but just a few excerpts, kadesh ala'achat filas musaf b'nigin Yontif. The minig is that after you finish davening musaf on Hoshana Rabbah, the way you do every single day of Sukkot, but you say a nigin, and the nigin should be a yontif digin nigin. Additionally, ve'en regilin lasis melacha shalchol, you try not to do any melach in the morning, ad achi yitziyah mi beis haknesses, until after you leave the beis haknesses. Going back to the Mechaber says, on this day, umar bin k'tzas b'neiros, you should be mar bin k'tzas b'neiros, as an Indian to light candles, k'may b'yayim ha-kipurim, just like we do on Yom Kippur. The Ramah says, v'amidaktik, and people that are medaktik, noyagin litva l'atzmin koidim alois ha-shachar. Before alois ha-shachar, they wake up early, k'moy be'erev yom kippurim, and they go to the mikvah. The Ramah continues and says, v'yesh noyagin lilboish ha-kittel. There are people that have a minig that on Hoshana Rabbah they wear a kittel. So the Mechaber and the Ramah are talking about minhagim. They keep on saying the word noyagim, right? Every single time. Noyagin laharbeis bim mizmoirim. Umarbim, Vamidaktik, Noyagin, Viesh, Noyagin, these were all minhagim. But they were minhagim in Klal Yisrael, Minig Yisrael Torah, that on Hoshana Rabbah, on some level, the day was treated like Yontif. Not only was it treated like Yontif, but it was treated like Yom Kippur, like the Yom HaKadosh. So you have the Mechaber that says that people used to sing Mizmoirim. The Ramah says that the Nigin of Kaddish after Tfilas Musaf should be the Yontif Digam Nigin. The Ramah says, don't do malacha in the morning until you finish davening on Hoshana Rabbah. Yontif, you don't do malacha. It's not Yontif, but you shouldn't do malacha. Umar bin k'tzas b'neiroiz k'moy b'yom ha-kippurim. The Ramah says, go to the mikveh before you daven. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Wear a kittel, because on Yom Kippur you wear a kittel. So you have this idea that on some level Hoshana Rabbah is treated like Yontif, and simultaneously on some level Hoshana Rabbah is treated like Yom Kippur. So the question is why? So the Mechaber continues. And the Mechaber gives us the punchline. Lefi says the Shulchan Aruch, Shebechag nidoinim alamayim. Because on Sukkot, the world is judged.
It's judged al hamayim. All the water of the world is judged on Sukkos. And because all the water of the world is judged on Sukkos, therefore treat it like a yontif. Therefore, treat it like Yom Kippur. Now, the first question is that if the world is judged al hamayim on Sukkos, l'chura, that means every single day of Sukkos, there's a judgment. And if the judgment on some level begets minhagim of Yontif and minhagim of Yom Kippur, so why do we only do it on the seventh day of Sukkos? We should do it every day of Sukkos. So the Taz says right away, the reason is, v'akol hoylech achar hachitum. The reason is because this is the last day. And because this is the last day, hakol hoylech achar hachitum, and that's why it's on the last day, this is the way we do it. So we know Hoshana Rabbah is a little bit of a confusing day. Hoshana Rabbah is Chol HaMoed. It's no different than the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day of Sukkos. It's a day of Chol HaMoed. It's not Yontif. There's no Issa Malacha. You don't daven a Yontif to get davening. It is Chol HaMoed. But at the same time, the Shulchan Aruch says there were minhagim amongst the Kadmoinim, going back to the Rishonim and the Goinim, where on some level they would treat it like Yontif. Not only would they treat it like Yontif, they would even treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. So based on that, if we're treating it like Yontif, we treat it like Yom Kippur, what's the Pshat? Like, what's Posh Pshat in this? Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to tell you Pshat, this is the Beis Yosef talking. The reason is, because the world is judged on Sukkot, it's judged on Alamayim, and because it's judged on Alamayim, therefore we treat it like Yontif, and therefore we treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. So of course, this is very much Tzorech Bir. So just explain, posh pshat, what's going on over here. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Barba Prokim Ha'olam Nidayin. There's four times here that the world is judged. B'Pesach Al HaTfuah. On Pesach, the world is judged for its Tfuah. The Tfuah of the world is judged on Pesach. B'Atzeres on Shavuos Al Peiros Ilan. B'Rosh Hashanah Kol Boi Olam Oivin Lefon of Kivnei Morim. Shenemar Yotze Yachal Liban Ameven Al Kol Basem. U'Bechag says the Mishnah Nidayin Amal Amayim. So we're familiar with the judgment, the Yom Hadin, which is on Rosh Hashanah. But really, the Mishnah says, Barba Prokim Ha'olam Nidayin. There are four times that the world is judged. Pesach for the Tfuah, Shavuos for the Peiros Ilan, Rosh Hashanah, that's the grace of Yom Hadin, Kol Boi Yoylam, Ovrim Lefon of Kivnei Marim, U'Bechag, and on Sukkos, Nidayin Amal Amayim. But the point is, Sukkos is one of the Yemei Hadin. Sukkos is one of the Yemei Hadin. Now, Sukkos is 7 days long, but Akoil Hoylech Achar Achitum, like the Taz says. So at the end of the day, Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day, is the Ikur day, if you're going to talk about the judgment of the Mayim. B'milam Acherim, it's the Ne'ilah of the judgment alamayim, and that's why we treat it a little bit like Yontif, and we treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. But it's still Tzarech Bir. What is the fact that the world is being judged now on water have to do with this idea that because of that we should treat it a little bit like Yontif, and because of that we should treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur? So the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agron, this halacha says, Ayin Yalkit Shemoyni, this is in Parshas Vaaschanon, it's always tough, tough, chof hey. So the Yalkut Shemoyni says as follows. Rab Chanin of Rabbi Yishaya said, Umi goy gadol asher lo yalikim kroven eilav. Quote, Eizoi uma ku uma zu, a well-known chazal. Which nation is like Kla Yisrael? She yoydas ufya shal eleka. Because Kla Yisrael knows the ufya of eleka. So what does ufya mean? The minik. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's nicker in the way we behave. How? If a person knows that he has a judgment day, he's going to wear dark clothing, he's going to grow his hair, he's not going to cut his nails, because he's in a state of mourning, he's nervous, he's scared. Yisrael is not that way. They wear white clothing, and they cover themselves with white clothing, and they take haircuts, umechatchen tzipornei, v'oichlen v'shoysen, usmeichem b'Rosh Hashanah. L'fi sheyoydin sh'akadosh baruch hu oysen lehem nisim, umoytzei dinam l'kav schos, v'koyrei lehem gzar dinam, and that's the pshat, ki migoy gadol, asher loye leikim kreivim elob, that we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know that even though we're living dangerously by doing this, literally, by going and acting on Rosh Hashanah as if it's a yontif, because the truth, let's be honest, it's a yoy madin, aber migoy gadol, asher loye leikim kreivim elob, and we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our best interest in mind, and even though sometimes we don't understand it, but at the end of the day, we understand that, and therefore we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. We celebrate it as if it's a yontif. So said the Molagoyin, you see from this Yalkut Shemoyni that every single Yom Adin is a yontif. So if every single Yom Adin is a yontif, so really on a Yom Adin you have to celebrate yontif. So says the Goyin, okay, what are the Yom Adin? Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. Pesach, Pesach is a yontif. Now, the truth is, Pesach has days of Chol HaMoed. Not every day is a yontif, but the first day of Pesach is a yontif. And Akol Hoylech Achar Achisum, the last day of Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach, is a yontif. Shavuos is a yontif. The only Yom HaDin, which is not inherently a yontif, is Sukkot. The first day is, but the last day is not. And I call Hoylech Achar Achisum. So the Ne'ilah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, of course, is a Yontif. The Ne'ilah of Pesach, that's Shvi Yishol Pesach. The Ne'ilah of Shavuos is Yontif. Oh, but the Ne'ilah from Sukkot is Nish Yontif. The Ne'ilah of Sukkot is the seventh day of Sukkot, which is the sixth day of Chol HaMoed, fifth day in Chutz La'aretz, but it's not Yontif. So because it's a Yom HaDin, and Ezehu Uma, so we need to make it into a yontif. This is the Alkit Shemayin. We have to show that we know it's a Yom HaDin today. And Afal Pikin, we're going to celebrate as a yontif. But it's not yontif. So you can't just make a yontif. That's Bal Toysim. We can create Yomim Toivim. The Chasam Sofer would say Chodesh Asim and Atayr if you wanted to make it into a yontif. But at the same time, Noyagim Nihugim of yontif. That, yeah. And that's why you have all these Minhogim of yontif. And the idea is based on this Yalkit Shemayin. What does it have to do with Yom Kippur? Oh, it's a Yom HaDin. So it's a Yom HaDin. And because of Yom HaDin, therefore it has a Shaychus Yom Kippur as well. This is what the Vilna Gaon wrote in his Be'er Agra. This is the Poshe Pshat in the Hoshana Rabbah. And the reason Hoshana Rabbah is a Shtikl Yontif is if somebody says, what's Hoshana Rabbah? It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's Simen Reish, Tof Reish Samich Dalet, Sif Kotten Aleph. Hoshana Rabbah is all about Shebechag, but it's Yodua that in the Zohar HaKadosh, the day of Hoshana Rabbah is a completely, completely different Indian. And the day of Hoshana Rabbah is Rava de Rabban. Just to read just a few lines in the Zohar. The Zohar is in Parshas Tzav, and the Zohar says, quote, B'yoyim HaShviyah Dechag, on the seventh day of Sukkot, Hu Siyuma Dedina Da'alma. This is the Siyum of all the Dinim in the world. Meaning, B'Rosh Hashanah Yikaseifun, U'B'yoyim Tzom Kippur, Yechaseimun. So the Yom HaDin starts in Rosh Hashanah and it goes through Yom Kippur. It says the Zohar HaKadosh, that's Al Derech HaNigla. But really Al Derech HaNistar, the Yom HaDin doesn't end by Ne'ilah. It goes through Vehu Rachum. It goes through the 4 days that are between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It goes through the first day of Sukkot. It goes through Chol HaMoed. And it goes all the way till Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, that's Siyuma de Dina da Alma. That's when all the dinim stop. Upiskin nafkin mi beyama. So what happens on that day? The piskin, the kvittel, the piska comes, mi beymalka, comes from the king. Ugvura mitari. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah writes the din. On Yom Kippur signs the din. So there's a din, but it's still sitting somewhere in the genozim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it stays there until Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, the Eved takes it, he gives it to the Shluchei Bezdin, gives it to the Malachim and the Srofim and the Ifani HaKadosh, and he hands it to them and he says, okay, it's time to execute. It's time to go. This is what happened in Rosh Hashanah. This is what was signed on Yom Kippur. And now's the time to disseminate this. This is Lamaisa. This is game on. Now you take the piskin and you're supposed to go. On that day, it's all over. So because of that, this is when Chalila Eni Din, that was Nigzar in the beginning of the year, is actually going to play itself out for real. Ugvura Mitari. So there's this unbelievable Hesiris of Din in the world. So the Yidden, we need to do something because we have to figure out a way to counter everything that's happening. So somehow, in a mystical way, the Arava has the ability to be mamtik all this and has the ability to somehow counter what's going on. So what we do is we take the Arve Nachal, ubi'inan las orig vuran lamaya, which has to do with water, ulasachrin zayin zimnin, and we will makiv the mizbech 7 times, l'ravo l'haim mizbech mimaya de Yitzchak. This is so above my pay grade, but this is basically what's going on, that there's some idea of this is what's happening. Then the Zohar says, b'hai yoy mikziv, it was regarding that day that the Pasuk says, v'yoshav Yitzchak, v'yachbar es beres hamayim. Yitzchak, we know, was midas adin, and it was on that day that it was v'yoshav Yitzchak, that the din stopped. It was Vayoshev Yitzchak. This is when the Midas Din all comes to an end. But the bottom line is, again, it just goes on and on and on in the Zohar. But the idea is, the gist is that Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, isn't just the Yom HaDin of the Mayim, and it isn't just based on the Yalkut Shemayim, like the Be'er Agra said, Ezo Uma Ku'uma Zu She'edas Ufya Shel Malka, it's not just that. It's a day that's very much a hemshech. It's a day that's very much a continuation. It's very much a continuation of the Yemei Hadin. So this is a fascinating concept where you find Al Derech Nigla, Hoshana Rabbah means one thing, and Al Derech Nister, Hoshana Rabbah seems to be another thing. Meaning, you learn the Gemara's in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, "Rosh Hashanah Yekasevun, Ubiyayim Tzom Kippur Yekasevun." There's no mention of Hoshana Rabbah. We just learned the Gemara's about Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, there was a mitzvah of Arava. It seems to go in line with the Lukachtam, Lechem B'yayim Merish, and Priyat Zadik Arbis. Arvei, Loshin Rabbim. Arava's maybe, Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha L'moishim Yisinai, but this was a mitzvah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. There was Nisach HaMayim that was done on. So every Yontif had its own nuances and things that were done. So there was a mitzvah called Arava, probably related to Chag HaOsif, right? This is what's going on right now. But in Kabbalah, and it really starts from the Zohar, and in all the Chassidish Svarim, this is like from the most common themes in Chassidish Svarim, and that is Hoshana Rabbah isn't just a day of Sukkot, but rather it's a continuation on some level to what happened on Rosh Hashanah, to what happened on Yom Kippur. What happens specifically? What happens is the Piskin that are having it written, what was written on Rosh Hashanah, what was signed in Yom Kippur, are disseminated. They're given to the Shluchim, and now the Shluchim have the ability to go and start executing on it. And that's why in Hoshana Rabbah, you didn't say, Piskatava, get the kvittel, because that's what's happening. It's based on a Lashon in the Zohar HaKadosh, a Zohar in Parshas. This is just a Pashup Shah in what Hoshana Rabbah is. There's a Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas V'zoy Sabrocha. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya is on the pasuk that says Vayar Reishis Loi Ki Shom Chelkas Mechoykek Safon Vayesei Rosh Hayom Tzidkas Hashem Aso U'Mishpatov Im Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Bechaya Ayin Shom Toich Dvarov, he starts talking about different things that you find were referred to as Godol. So he says, quote, U'mikan yesh l'chol v'hisoyrer b'kisvei ha-koydesh pa'oysen dvarim shenikru b'shem gadol. There's certain things that you find in Kisvei ha-koydesh and in Chazal that they were referred to as gadol. Ke'inyin beis ha-mikdash, the beis ha-mikdash shenikru gadol. Shenemar, that's called beis gadol saraf ba'esh, referring to churban beis ha-mikdash. But it was called gadol. V'chein ha-oyved ha-mesharis sham, the oyved ha-mesharis, who was he called? The highest ranking kohen was the ha-koyen ha-gadol. V'chein ha-nar sheb'eretz Yisrael was Nikra, Hanar Hagodol Nahar Peros. V'chein, Hashem Hagodol, Shakoin Godol Oyved Lefanov, the Shem Hagodol that resided in the Beis HaMikdash was as Kol Masei Hashem Hagodol. V'chein, Mashakoin Chachmei HaEmes, Loshin Rabbah. Wherever you find that the Chachmei HaEmes, referring to Chazal, whenever they use the word Rabbah, what does Rabbah mean? Hu Targum Shal Gadol. It's the Targum of the word Gadol. Ke'inyim B'Kaddish. Like you find by Kaddish, where you say, Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarach. What does Rabbah mean? It's the Loshin of Gadol. Brachas Tav Gimel Amen Aleph. V'chein Yehesh Shlama Rabbah. V'chein Kiddush Hayem Shekoyim Kiddusha Rabbah. V'loichein Shal Laylo. V'chein Birkis Hayem Shal Ahav Asoylam Avtonu. Shekoyin Ahav Rabbah. V'loichein Shal Shachris. V'chein, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, another place where you find this idea of God, we're going to get to the punchline, is L'yom Shvi Shal Arava, the seventh day of Arava. What's it referred to, the seventh day of Sukkot? It's called Hoshana Rabbah. This is also called Gadol. It's called Hoshana Rabbah. So what does this all mean? He says, you find all these days that they're referred to as Gadol. So what does it mean when you talk about Gadol? So he says that Gadol is related with the idea of Shem Yudke Vavke, and Gadol is related to the Shpitz of Ashroi Sashchina. And every single time you find the word Gadol, on some level, what you're dealing with is the Shpitz of Ashroi Sashchina. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, this is what we need. So why would Hoshana Rabbah be called Hoshana Rabbah? Rabbah's Gadol, we're making this whole big deal about what Gadol is. So why would it be called Hoshana Rabbah? He says something fascinating. And certainly fascinating in light of raid that we've spoken about. Lefi shehu tashlum esrim v'shisha yomim shebibriyas ha'olam. He says because Hoshana Rabbah, if you do the math, is the 26th day from Briyas ha'olam. Why? Because the world was created on Chafei Elul, and because the world was created on Chafei Elul, if you count 26 days from Chafei Elul, you know what you're going to get to? You're going to get to Hoshana Rabbah. You're going to get to Chaf Aleph Tishrei. The reason it's called Hoshana Rabbah It's because Rabbah is the Shem HaGadol. What's Gadol? That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shana Rabbah is 26 days from Bria Soil. So what's 26 have to do with Havai? It's the Gematria. The Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Chavav. It's 26. So there's a remez in Shana Rabbah. It's the 26th day from Bria Soil. Maha Keshe. Because it's Rabbah as in the Rabbah of the Shem HaGadol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Gematria of Havai, and that's the 26 days. So it's half of a fella. We spoke about how the Dalad Minim is the way the Taz brings it from the Beis Yosef, brings it from the Rekanti. It's taking the four Minim, which represent the four Oisniyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kumbavua B'medrash Rabbah, Kapis Tomorim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anafi Tzav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Priyei Tzav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we take them and mechaber them together. And that's why you have to make sure B'shastin Anuim, that you don't only have the Eged of the Lulav, but you have the Esrik, which is together with the Lulav. And that was Neskala to the Rekanti in the dream, when he had the dream of this Yid, Reb Yitzchak, who was spending Sukkos by him, and he saw in a dream, he was a Sofer, O Yud Kei Vav, and then he had the Hay somewhere else. And he understood that the four Minim of the Lulav are really representing the four Oisiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we need to do is we need to be mechaber, then we need to bring them together. Because that, so he said, if that's the case, this idea of taking the lulav is mamish to Omen Yeheshmei Rabbah of the Machzeh Vitri. What's Omen Yeheshmei Rabbah? So can you do it? There's two pshatim of what it means. But Tosis brings in brachas Gimel Amen Aleph in the name of the Machzeh Vitri, and the Torah brings it in Eruch Chaim as well, that it's a tefillah, that Omen Yeheshmei Rabbah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Rabbah. What does it mean should be Rabbah? It should be whole. It should be complete. It should be Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Shlei Musoi. That's what it is. It shouldn't be chas the way it is chasser in the world right now, but rather it should be Amen Yehesh Mei Rabbah. So when we take the Dalit Min, and what are we doing? We're saying Amen Yehesh Mei every single day in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what they used to do. Every day they would take the Dalit Minim, and it was Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oisa Beveisoi Kach, and it was done in the Beis Hamikdash because that's the Mokim of Amen Yehesh Mei Rabbah. Kimavu in the Gemara Brachas Gimel Amen Aleph. We don't have to chaser all the raid. But on the seventh day, this is the culmination. It's the culmination of Dalad Minim, it's the culmination of Arava, but it's also a culmination of the proclamations that the Yidden were making of Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah, the entire Sukkos. So what happened on the culmination of that day? What happened on that very last day? That very last day, there was this tremendous makif in the Samizbeach. According to one man, they weren't even makif the Mizbeach with Arava. They were makif the Mizbeach tafku with the Dalad Minim. And they were makif the Mizbeach seven times. And it was a tremendous Eisrotzen. On Hashem Oishiyana, on Hashem Atzlichana, Aniva Hoya Oishiyana. Right, that's what was going on at that time, during that Gevaldige Eisrotzen. What's this Eisrotzen? So Pashen, it's the last day of Sukkos. Oh, it's a Shana Rabbah, Piskatova, I get Kvittel, right? That's what's going on right now. But Rabbeinu B'chaya says it's deeper than that. Today is the day of the 26th day from Brias Olam. Today is the day of a Shana Rabbah. Today is the appropriate day to scream Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah. He's saying Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah on Hoshana Rabbah. That's taking the Dalad Minim with this final taking and being makif the Mizbeach. L'chur, it all comes together. I see we have time, so just one final ha'ara, and that is, the Mishnah said that when the Yidden were makif the Mizbeach one time every day of Sukkot, seven times on a shout in Rabbah, so they would say, on Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Atzlichana. Rabbi Huda said that what they would say is, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. So what they would say is the pasuk of Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. Rashi, here, very uncharacteristically, in the Mishnah says, what does it mean, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana? So Ayin Shom. Right, it's rare that a Rashi is poshut above our pay grade in terms of, obviously, the oimik of Rashi is always above our pay grade. But here, poshut, the sprach of Rashi, it's very hard to understand Rashi. Usually Rashi keep it understood by young children and keep it understood by the grace of Lamdanim. But this Rashi is very hard to understand. Rashi says that the word anivahoi is begematria ona Hashem. And then Rashi says, v'oid mi shivim ushtayin shemoisein. It's from the 72 shemas. And then Rashi starts talking about Ramazim and parashas b'shalach. This Rashi reads like a zayir. Ayin shom. But the bottom line is that on Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Atzlichana, Rabbi Yehuda said that they used to be Moisef, and they would say, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. They would say the words, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. But if you look at the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says a different shot. The Rambam says, what does it mean, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana? Ani, says Rashi, Mishemes Hashem Yisparach. Ukamoikein v'hoi. So Ani is from the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Vav Hei Vav is also from the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach Amru HaMefarshon in the Gemara. So this is the pshat that I've seen in the Gemara. But then the Rambam says, V'ani Oimer, I think, Shu Koire V'roimis, I think it's a Remes or something else. L'mashna Oimer, a Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Re'u Ata Ki Ani
anihu. Shezeh ha-pasik, this pasik ba b'shmiras Yisrael. It's coming b'shmiras, it's coming to protect the Yidin. Fi yeshuasam. Uki ilu omar. And when we say aniva hoy hoshiyana, on Hoshana Rabba, when the Yidin used to say aniva hoy hoshiyana, when they were makiv the mizbeach, this is what they were saying. They were turning to HaKadosh Baruch and they were saying, ata she'amartu, you HaKadosh Baruch who told us, ru'u ata ki ani, anihu hoshiyana. That's what we're referring to. Ru'u ato ki ani anihu, ani v'hoi is a reference to a pasuk. And we're invoking this pasuk, and we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told us in that pasuk that you're going to take care of us. So hoshiyana, k'moy she'hivtachtanu, help us and deliver on that promise the way you said you were going to. So what's this pasuk that the Rambam quotes? Ru'u ato ki ani anihu. This is a pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. The pasuk says, Ru'u ata. This is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. See, Ru'u, ata now. Ki ani anihu. Ich bin em. Ve'en alikim imadi. Ein oim bavadi. There's nobody else with me. Ani omes v'achaya, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the one who kills, but I'm also the one that brings back to life. Mochatzti v'ani erpe. I cause people, Rachman al-Tzlan, to be sick, but v'ani erpe. I'm also the roif v'cholim. Ve'en miyadi matzel. And there's nobody that can be matzal anybody from me, because this is the ultimate expression of Einoid Movade. Ru'u ato ki ani anihu ve'en alikim imadi ani omes v'achaya mechatzi v'ani erpo ve'en miyadi matzal. So this is a posik that you can almost never know exists, but the Rambam says this posik is the posik. It is the ultimate avtocha the Yidden ever got. The ultimate avtocha that Klai Yisrael ever got in the entire Torah was this posik right here. And when we say on Eshan Rab, and when the Yidden did when they were makif the Mizbeach, the posik of when they say ani v'hoyoshiyana, what we're doing is we're invoking this pasuk. This pasuk says ani, and it says who? Ani v'hoy, as if ani v'hu. HaKadosh Baruch, you told us, ru'u ato ki ani ani hu, ve'en alikim imadi, you promised ani omis, but you said v'achaye. You promised mochatzti, but you said v'ani erpo. So we're poshit calling out HaKadosh Baruch, you made a haftacha, and we're asking you, hoyoshiyana, please, deliver on that promise and that pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Lamed Tes, tucked away at the very end of Sefer Devarim in Parshas Hazino. So I once heard a Dover Nifla from Rabbi Shua Abib Yusel Shlita. He said a little bit of a hezber in this Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, a little bit of a hezber in what the oimek of ani v'hoy hoshiyana is, specifically referring to this pasuk of Ru'u ato ki ani anihu. See, he said over Behektim that there's a sefer that's called Kol Doidi. And the sefer Kol Doidi, they bring that the Vilna Gaon's brother, Rabbi Avram, who was Achi Agura, so he once went to the Vilna Gaon and he told him over a vart that he had seen in the Megala Amukas. So he told him over something he said from the Megala Amukas. The Megala Amukas said like this. He said that there are 955 Rikiyim. There are 955 Rikiyim. Tof, tof, kuf, nun, hey, Rikiyim. He said that on the Tav Kuf, the first 900 Rikiyim, there's Malachim, and there's Srafim, and there's Doifanim, and there's Chayas HaKodesh, and they're different Malachim and entities, Dvarim Shel, Kedusha, metal, physical beings that are able to Drezach in those Rikiyim. But he said the highest 55 Rikiyim, those are places that it's not possible for anyone to go. There's Ein Rishus L'Shum Malach, that area is a place that's built Hashem Levadai. And he said a simon to this is, the Pasuk says, Hain Lashem Elokecha, Hain is Nun Hey, it's Gematria 55, because the upper 55 Rikiyim, that's exclusive, that's Miyuchad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Megala Mukah said like this. He said, if you look in Sefer Devarim, and you count up all the psukim, there's 955 psukim in Sefer Devarim. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu started recounting Mishneh Torah, and this is Eilah Dvar Mashati Ber Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu was trying on some metaphysical level to be Baikei all the Rikiyim. He was trying to penetrate the Nikiyim. And he would say a Pasuk in Mishnah to Eilah Dvar Mashati Ber Hashem HaMoshe, and he was able to be Baikei. He was able to go through that first Rikiyah. And then he said another Pasuk, and he was able to get through the second Rikiyah. And he said a third Pasuk, and he was able to get through the third Rikiyah. And he was able to go and go and go. And he said 900 psukim. And by saying 900 psukim, he was able to be by Keya 900 Rikiyim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said a pasuk, Sinish Gegangen. And he tried again. And he realized he couldn't get through. So he couldn't understand what's going on. So he realized that he must have gotten to a point where it's impossible to be by Keya. The Malachim can't go there. And Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyoch, whatever this means, what it is, psukim in Mishneh Torah, have no ability to go to that place.
So you know what Moshe Rabbeinu did? Moshe Rabbeinu said that I realize now that there's an area that it's so enoid milvada that even the malachim and the srofim and the chayis hakodesh, nobody has an ability to go. So therefore, if you take a look at the 901st pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ru'u ato." Ki ani anihu ve'ein elikim imodi ani omis v'achaye mechatzdi v'ani erpa ve'ein miyodi matzo. Moshe Rabbeinu said this pasuk. This is the 901st pasuk because 900 psukim he was able to penetrate. So, but then he came to a point he couldn't go anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized that it must be 900 rikiyim ashayich. But after that, it's not shayich. That very next pasuk was a declaration of that. Ru'u ato. Now I see. Ki ani anihu the ein alikim imodi ani omis machaya machatzdi vani erpa the ein miyodi matz. And the last 55 psukim, it starts from ruata ki ani anihu. Moshe Rabbeinu already couldn't be by kei the rikim because at that point there was a gather of ani anihu the ein alikim imodi. So the Achi Agra said this word over to the Vilna Goyin, the kol se ma'od achiv Agra. That's what it says in the Sefer Kol Doidi. And the Vilna Goyin heard this and he was meshabeachin. And the Goyin said the truth is if you look at that pasuk, it's written completely out of context. It doesn't flow with the psukim before, it doesn't flow with the psukim after. And he said that's what the Megala Amukus was saying, is because this pasuk was taka out of context. This was pashut, a recognition that Moshe Rabbeinu had now, which is ru'u ato ki ani anihu ve'ein alikim imodi. So then Rabbi Shua Abba was Moisef, that he said he saw in a sefer, this is not from Rabbi Avram, the brother of the Vilna Gaon, but this is from Rabbi Avram ben Hagra. He taich that we say in davening, in Kel Odoin, on Shabbos. So we say, HaMiskoy al Chayes HaKodesh, the Nedar B'chovoid ala Merkova, S'chus u'mishor lifnei Chisoy, Chesed v'rachamim molei Chavoidai, or Chesed v'rachamim lifnei Chavoidai. But S'chus u'mishor lifnei Chisoy, Chesed v'rachamim molei Chavoidai. So Rabbi Avram, the son of the Vilna Gaon, teach the pasuk like this. He said, there are two mekoymos in Shemayim. There's lifnei Chisoy, and then there's Lefnei Chavoidai. These are two separate places. Lefnei Chisoy, these are the first 900 Rekim, like the Megala Amuka said. That's an area where the Malachim are allowed to go. That's an area where the Srofim, the Chayas, the Fanei HaKodesh are allowed to go. Because that's a place where other entities are able to be, so there's a Bezen Shalmayil over there. Over there, it's Schosu Mishar. Over there, you need Schosim. Over there, it works with Mishar, it works with a Seder, it works with a Cheshbin. There's a methodology to how things happen with Lifnei Chisoy. But then there's a place of the 55 Rekim that the Megala Amukah spoke about. That's an area where it's Ani, Ani Hu, Ve'en Alikim Imadi. Ani Omes Vachaya. Mochat Stiva Ani Erpo. Ve'en Miyadi Matz. There's nobody else. There's not even Malachim. That's a place that Moshe Rabbeinu with his Psukim of Mishnah Torah couldn't even be by Keah. That area of Kvaidai, that's Kulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kulei Toiv. So that's Chesed V'Rachamim Molei Kvaidai. That area is all Chesed V'Rachamim. Schusim Mishal Lifnei Chesed, that's the first 900 Rekiyim. Oh, but once you get to the top 55, there it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now it's already Me'elyon Loitei Tzeyara. That's Chesed V'Rachamim Molei Kvaidai. That's what's going on over there. So Rabbi Shua Abba was Moisef. That we say in Naritzcha V'Nagdishcha, or in Keser Yitnu Lecha. I'll read it from Keser. So we say, Keser Yitnu Lecha, Hashem Elokeinu Malachim Amoy Neimala. Right, we're being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're being mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kvoidei molei oilam. The kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu is molei oilam. Abim mishors of shayalim zeh lo zeh. Ayei mekoyim kvoidei la'aritzoi. They can't find this place. Why can't they find Mekoyim Kavoidai? Because Mekoyim Kavoidai, like the Vilna Gaon said, these are the top 55 Rekiyim. This is the place which Ru'u Ata Ki Ani Anihu. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get there. The Malachim can't go there. So we say, Ayei Mekoyim Kavoidai. They can't find it. They can't find it because it's hidden from everybody. It's the last 55 psukim. Baruch Kvayd Hashem Mekoyimai. What do we say? Mekoyimai. What comes from that place? That place that they can't find. It's a place of rachamim. It's chesed v'rachamim lifnei chvoidoi. It's chesed v'rachamim molei chvoidoi. So we say, mimkoimai, from that mokoim, where there's no schus u'mishar, the mokoim that's chesed v'rachamim, the mokoim where it's ani omis v'chayim, mochatzdi v'ani erpo. So if a person could tap into that place, there's no schus u'mishar anymore. Now there's no cheshbin anymore. So we say, mimkoimai, u'yif, and berachm of liamoy v'yochay na'am am yachnim shmoy kodesh baruch hu have rachmanes erev avoyk b'chayim tamid. And then finally hu alikeinu hu avinu, and he said maybe this v'yashmienu berachm of shenis leinu kol chay lemer. And then what do we say? Hein Goalti Eschem. What's the gematria of Hein? Hein is also 55. Say, Hein Goalti Eschem. This is a tefillah that Kodesh Baruch Hu, I understand this chus and this mishar. And lav kolodim zoicha lekach. And sometimes you need tremendous chusim. And if it's mishar, maybe it's not going to go so smoothly. Because not always does it play out. But there's a mokum, there's a place that's called lifnei chvoidai. And in the place of lifnei chvoidai, it's not chus or mishar, but in that place it's chesed verachamim. And that's a place that the malachim have no shaykhs to, and that's where they say, but we understand what that place is. So we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know we have no shaykhis to it. But we're mispalo mim koimoi hu yifem berachem of le'amoi. That place, which is a place of molei rachemim, mim koimoi hu yifem berachem of le'amoi. And finally, hein go'alti eschem, hein begematria nun hey, hein go'alti eschem. That's ultimately where the geula should come from. So Shu'abba said, Pashit, this is the oimek and what's going on over here. That on a Shana Rabbah, and this is the Yoim Hadin of Yoim Hadins. This is the Piskatova. This is the Gitkvittel. This is like the Zohar HaKadosh says. So the Yidden were being makif the Mizbech. And what did they invoke? They said, Aniva Hoyo Shiyana. And this is it. This is the left. This Chus and this Mishar. And this Rosh Hashanah Yekasevun. This Yom Tzom Kippur Yechasemun. And now we're holding by the Gvittel. This is our last chance. The last chance is Chus and Mishar Lifnei Chisai. I understand. About Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's another part. Pasuk. This is the 901st pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Re'u atno ki ani ani hu ve'ena likimi modi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised ani omis, but you said this is going to be tchias ha-meisim. Va'achaye, not just tchias ha-meisim, but tchias ha-chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaye chayim also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said machatzti, but at the same time you said va'ani erpo. So we try to invoke that place. And that's what ani v'hoyo ishiyano is. We're trying to get to that pasuk like the Megala Amukah said. V'kol sei hagro. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to tap in to that place, because if we can tap into that place, you know what's there? It's Mimkoimai Hu Yifem Birachamim La'amai. And ultimately it's from that place, those 55 Rakiyim, that Hengo Alti Eschem, that the Geula is gonna come from.